bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. I want to thank Dale and Jane Meyer for their support of our program and for Frank Eliason for producing our show. Today's show, my friends, is dedicated to all of those wingmen who have been doing great work and succeeding in reentry. And it is not easy to succeed in reentry from substance abuse or alcoholism or reentering society after being incarcerated. So for the men out there who have been giving 100% effort, I applaud you and I give you a lot of credit for seeing your way through to success. And I want to highlight one of our men, Jeff Collins. We've talked about him several times, but I want to tell you that Jeff has been in the WINGS program for quite a few years, and recently he got his hazmat endorsement and his tanker endorsement, and is applying to new companies so that he can, get additional compensation and benefits for his family. And Jeff is continuously improving himself, and that's one of the messages in the WINGS program, that we have to continue to improve ourselves mentally, physically, spiritually, educationally, financially, and residentially. It's all important. And Jeff has really shown us that he is a great example of what can be done when you focus in on getting results. And I just tell you, way back when Jeff joined the WINGS program, he joined at the House of Corrections, and Jeff really needed some help. And he was open to God and open to the WINGS program. And with that, we were able to offer him, a lot of assistance in different ways and giving him good advice, motivation, helping to bring his spiritual growth to a higher level. And Jeff Collins, at 51 years old, my friends, received his GED. And he had put that off for quite a few years. And before he got his GED, he actually had to do some other things first. He really had to get, his focus once again and get his mind right. And so he went to Gaudenzia, a drug and alcohol rehab program down in Philadelphia. Because if your mind is not clear, if you are not clear-minded, but you are really under the influence of various drugs or alcohol, there's no way you can take on a mission of getting a GED or college degree or any other, educational program. So Jeff had to really work hard to get his mind right and get clean and sober, and which he did. And once he got clean and sober and graduated, he moved on to get his GED. It took him over a year to get that GED, and there were many times where he was challenged, with different courses, math or science. And, I told him, you have to take it one step at a time. And with that, Jeff endured through some of the great challenges of getting a GED, which he did at 51 years old. And after getting a GED, he moved on to his next goal, which was to get a CDL license. And he went to Allstate and took out a small loan and was able to get that CDL license and get a job in the trucking industry, which is where a lot of our men go actually to get good work. And today, truckers are in demand. But I just tell you that Jeff has done very well in the trucking industry, driving the big rigs. It's helped him to get his own apartment and to prepare to get married. And also, it's helped him to really focus in on what life is all about, as he now works 4 to 5 days a week, but he comes home every night. And I tell you that sincerely, because a lot of truckers are challenged with driving over the road cross country and look forward to coming home on the weekends. But Jeff has gotten through that that segment in which he had to earn experience. And now he comes home every night and has really changed his life for the better. But again, as I said earlier, you know, Jeff is focused on improving himself. Throughout the years, he has shown that he can take on goals, small or short-term and long-term goals, and achieve those goals and set new ones. And today, again, he just earned his hazmat endorsement, and where he will be able to carry hazardous materials. And he earned also his tanker endorsement. And so with that, he's able to apply to great companies like Sunoco or Exxon and gas companies and make, you know, much more money. So one of the things we do in the Wings program is teach people to go to work and to work hard to provide for their families. And Jeff has done just that. He's one of the great examples that we've seen in the Wings program. And we give him all of the credit. Really, because he has, you know, remained focused. He's remained clean and sober. He has remained self-disciplined. And he has also now prepared to get married and begin a new family. And I just tell you that this is important because it's one of the callings that God has given us. And the Lord tells us, you know, that a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. And the two will be fruitful and multiply. Well, thank God for Jeff and the plans he has to get married. And he has a strong faith. So we just want to wish him well in his endeavors in trucking and also in family life. And we look forward to him joining us on another program sometime in the very near future. But again, our show today is dedicated to all of those men and women who have done well in the area of recovery from substance abuse, alcoholism, and success in reentry. I want to move into our first reading coming up this weekend for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And our first reading, my friends, comes from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, 4 through 8. And here it is. Elijah went a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree and sat beneath it. He prayed for death, saying, "This is enough, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." He lay down and fell asleep under the broom tree. But then an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and to eat. Elijah looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. After he ate and drank, he lay down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and ordered, "Get up and eat, or else the journey will be too long for you." He got up, ate, and drank. Then, strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of 1 Kings, my friends, Elijah said to the Lord, "Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he really had given up. And an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and to eat. And Elijah looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. And the Lord provides. The Lord provided for Elijah, and not given up on him, but provided the physical nourishment, the motivation, the angel who touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. What an amazing moment for Elijah, where God truly, you know, reveals himself through the angel. And the angel of the Lord came twice to Elijah. He came back a second time, touched him again, orders him to eat, to get up and eat, or else the journey will be too long for him. It's a beautiful thing when we see God caring for us, nourishing us, protecting us, giving us all that we need for the journey. And our spiritual life is a journey, my friends. And we're on that journey, each of us in our own ways. It is a journey, and it's always changing. It requires work, hard work. It requires quality time with our Lord and our Father in heaven in prayer. Very important. But here in the first book of Kings, Elijah gets up, he eats, he drinks, and then he's strengthened by the food. And he walks 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. And this is a special moment for Elijah, truly, my friends. And I'm not sure that we understand it completely, because we'd have to walk in his shoes for 40 days and 40 nights to really be, you know, in that position to understand what he went through, why the Lord put him through it, and how, you know, God always gives us what we need for the journey. But again, like the Lord who was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and who really was preparing to do something great, Elijah also walks for 40 nights and 40 days to the mountain of God. He has a mission. God prepares him for that mission as he prepares you and I for that mission. Recently, I met a man whose son was killed about a year and a half ago. And this man is in a state of mind that I would equate to depression, with no hope, no vision. And he's kind of stuck in a place where he needs to make some changes. He's without vision because of the death of his son. And with that, we want to acknowledge that only God can provide the true way to go. Only God can give us the great, you know, hope and vision for the future. And so for that reason, we recommended that, you know, this man start to really develop that relationship with God in prayer, and to look at the wounds of the past and try to move forward, because we can't change the past, as we know. But again, in time, this man will move forward, as we all do. And God always gives us what he needs, like he did to Elijah. But the death of a son is not an easy one. Many times in the Wings program, we've run into people who have lost sons to the streets of Philadelphia. Moms specifically, Moms in Charge, an organization in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, basically who is made up of women who've lost sons to the streets, whether it be drugs or gunshots or some other means like a car accident. Each of these women have mourned the loss of a son. Some of them have lost two sons. And for that reason, we acknowledge the great success and reentry that many people have had in the Wings program today. And this is not to be taken lightly, as we see nationwide roughly a 83% failure rate when it comes to recovery from alcoholism and drugs. We also see recidivism rates that are high. And our job is to lower the recidivism rate, to help people to find success in reentry. And we've been doing that since 1993. Our first school was Our Lady of Calvary Elementary School. And it was a interesting day, you know, in going to see Sister Mildred of Our Lady of Calvary, the principal, who opened the door to the WINGS program and allowed us to come into the classroom. And, you know, my friends, these children on that day stood up and stood up tall and said good morning when Sister Mildred entered the classroom. They showed her the respect that she was due, and it was a beautiful sight for me to see. As she entered the classroom and introduced me, they stood up a second time and showed me the same respect that they showed Sister Mildred. And I just tell you, the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, "Where have you been, my son?" It had been maybe 25 years since I had attended Catholic elementary school, and I saw something I hadn't seen for a quarter century, which was very special, the respect that children show teachers. And this was a unique morning because it was the beginning of the WINGS program. And that opened the door to 100 schools, 8 prisons, many recovery homes. And with the help of the Lord, our Blessed Mother Mary, and St. Joseph, through the Holy Spirit, we were able to enter those schools time and time again, helping to make an impact on many, many children throughout Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, helping to move people forward, giving them hope and great vision for the future. As the WINGS program was born, it was dedicated and designed to fill the voids for kids from single-parent homes, which we have so many. And as we move forward with the WINGS program, we had gone to many schools and several prisons, including the Bucks County Youth Detention Center, St. Gabriel's Hall, and also Greaterford Prison. We also went into a variety of facilities in New Jersey, the Albert C. Wagner facility, and working with the judiciary in Trenton, New Jersey, the ISP program, which is the Intensive Supervisory Program for Nonviolent Offenders. And at the time, there were 1,250 inmates who were involved with this program, nonviolent offenders. And so they had a pre-release program, able to come home 90 days early and to remain in this program on the outside, but they did come home 3 months early. And it was a very special program in which we were involved in providing seminars for up to 40 men at a time and 15 women at a time. And I only tell you that because, like Elijah, who was prepared by the Lord, he had to walk 40 days and 40 nights. And in that time period, the Lord prepared him. Well, the Lord truly prepared us in the WINGS program as well, as we went to facility after facility and helped to mentor both adults and younger men, trying to help them to make changes in their lives and avoid incarceration forever. And also, as we move forward, we met some very unique people. I just tell you that we had a woman in the WINGS program, in that ISP program, one of 15, who shared with me that she was an accountant and had served 4 years. And I said, "Well, how did you get here?" She said, "You know, I'm an accountant." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, you know, what did you do to become incarcerated?" And she said that she had embezzled $70,000. And that led to, you know, years of incarceration. But I just tell you that she was unable then to use that accounting degree. and was unable to secure her freedom for those years in that short period of time. 4 years can be a long time, my friends. But we also had people in the Wings program who did, everything you can think of. And God moved them forward through success and reentry in the Wings program. And God provided. When we did that beautiful seminar for the 40 men, I had a call from a woman in Bucks County who told me that her, husband had died and that she had a lot of clothing. Some of it was even brand new. And so I said to her, I'll take it all. And she bagged everything up. And wouldn't you know it, this was the day before I was scheduled to do the seminar for the 40 men in Trenton, New Jersey. And when I went over there with a van full of clothing, it didn't take long, but after the seminar, that entire van was emptied because all 40 men had clothing and God provided once again. And so, this is a great moment here at Holy Spirit Radio to just remind our listening audience that God always gives us what we need and he will help us to help others. It's a great message. And he says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And whatever you did not do for the least of your brothers, you didn't do it for me. So this is a great story in working in inmate reentry work. We meet people of all types, all ages, all denominations, both male and female. And we are truly, given great blessings, great peace to move forward one day at a time. And as God prepares us for other things, he gives us what we need as we move along the road. So we did many years in the New Jersey facilities, and we also then made an effort to get back into the Philadelphia area. And that's where God opened the door into the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, where we had the opportunity to work for almost 10 years and put more than 1,800 men through the program, the 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program. And I tell you this, my friends, because God provided, all along the way. He gives us what we need, like he did to Elijah and everyone else that we read about in the Word of God. The great prophet Elijah, who's basically given up, he says to the Lord, "Take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And the Lord sends an angel to touch him twice, orders him to get up and eat. And he does. And he is, strengthened for the journey ahead. So if you're out there, my friends, and you're experiencing a hard time, have faith and put your faith in God, because God will strengthen you. He will provide all that you need in necessities and sometimes luxuries to move forward to a better life. So if you're out there, once again, I pray right now that God will bless you and keep you and protect you and guide you and direct you and give you all that you need to start building a better life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to move into our second reading now, my friends, which is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 30 through chapter 5, verses 2. And this is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ. So be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Ephesians, through the words of St. Paul, my friends, we see that St. Paul tells us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He mentions all bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you and from me, along with all malice. So I pose the question to you and I, my friends, what's happening in your life? Are you living with the spirit of bitterness? We'll start there. The spirit of unforgiveness, where you have a bad taste in your mouth for someone or some people, and you can't forgive them. So you carry this bitterness for years. I want you to think objectively in your life. Who is it that you're bitter about? What is it in the past that took place that you are bitter about? Once again, we can't change the past. We can only understand the past, accept the past, forgive the past, and then God will give us a great peace. But we don't want to go forward in life with bitterness. The spirit of bitterness will give us no peace. It'll never be removed because of that bitterness. We want to turn it around. And through forgiveness of that wound, whatever it may be, whoever it may be, God will provide the peace in going forward into the future. And this is important because we all have wounds of the past. And there are three things, my friends, that you and I cannot change. Number one, you can't change the past. It's impossible. We must go forward. Number two, you cannot change your biological family that you were born into. So if you are unhappy with that family, we have to do the very best that we can to make things work out and pray that God will help us to change the situation that we're living in, because we cannot change the mothers or fathers that we are born into. And number three, we cannot change God's laws. God's laws will not change, should not change. God made these laws for us to live a good life. He put them out there so that we can live and prosper, so that we can live a life of increase. And when we follow God's laws, we earn the blessings of obedience, which is so powerful. But again, my friends, St. Paul tells us about bitterness must be removed from you. And that requires acceptance and forgiveness. And once we get rid of that, we have a great peace. The next thing St. Paul talks about is anger, fury. And if you're going through the week as an angry person, you know, we have to change that. And sometimes people will steal your peace and make you angry. It can come from work, from family. It can come from sports. It can come from a bad decision, which you can't undo. And things make you angry. And that can happen to all of us. And the goal, my friends, is to follow the Lord's lead, because divine anger only lasts a moment, but divine favor lasts a lifetime. And so we want to be in God's divine favor for a lifetime, and we want to follow suit where our anger only lasts for a moment, but we want to be at peace and get rid of that anger. Because if you're going to visit someone, a parent, a child, sibling, friends and neighbors, and you come with an angry demeanor, it's going to be a tough day. Our job is to bring the peace, not the anger. If you're coming home from work and you say hello to your children and you're doing it in an angry way, it's noticeable. You're bringing fear to the kids. Our job is to bring the peace. Try to leave things at work and bring the peace at home. St. Paul talks about shouting, removing that from our demeanors, raising our voices, lacking self-control. He's calling us, my friends, to not shout, but to lower our voices, have a soft touch, a nice approach, a kind word, a firm handshake, a great smile, a loving word. He's calling us to not shout at our loved ones, but to treat others as we would like to be treated. And we can all raise our voices and make that mistake. But God's calling us to pay attention to what I'm telling you to do, and to be careful not to shout, but use a loving touch. Remember, the second greatest commandment is to love one another. So we have to be reminded to love one another in a kind way, not shouting and not disturbing relationships by raising our voices all the time. This must be removed from you and I, says St. Paul. St. Paul goes on to talk about being kind to one another. You treat others like you want to be treated, the golden rule. Being compassionate versus having no compassion for people. Can you put yourself in the shoes of some other people? We don't know what other people are going through very often. We're not mind readers. So we have to be compassionate to people. Take time to understand their mindset. You never know the mindset of another person. We had a guy in the Wings program who graduated in January many years ago, and about 3 weeks later, he knocked on the door in the classroom area of CFCF in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And he said to me, "Mr. Montone, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Sure, Richard, what can I do for you?" And I walked out into the hallway with him. He said, "You know, my mother died." I said, "Geez, I'm so sorry to hear that." He said, "Yeah, the thing about it was, my plan for the future was to come home and to get released early and to be with my mom, to spend more time with her. And now she's gone. And I feel like I have nowhere to turn. I don't know what to do." And Richard was in a position where he realized he had wasted much time. And God brought that to his attention. And I just tell you that Richard did not come home that year because he was sentenced to 4 to 7 years for the crimes he had committed. And God had another plan. And although his mother died and he was unable to see her before she died, Richard still had to serve time. And so it's a great lesson there, my friends, that sometimes life is short and we want to, you know, spend more time being kind to one another, compassionate to one another. He hadn't spent much time with his mom, and unfortunately, she got sick and she died while he was incarcerated. St. Paul also talks about forgiving one another as God has forgiven us in Christ. And this is a great message, my friends. Once again, if you're not forgiving other people, then you probably are living with that spirit of unforgiveness, that bitterness. Once again, St. Paul brings out. But God calls us to forgive one another as our Father in heaven forgives us in Christ. And this is important. It's in the Our Father prayer that we forgive those who trespass against us. This is important. This is not just something that we talk about or say or take lightly. It's something that we live out, we put into practice. And forgiveness requires humility. Without humility, there'll be no forgiveness. There'll be no apology. And this is important because in life there will be times when we make mistakes and we will have to apologize. There'll be times in life when other people have hurt us and we need to offer forgiveness to bring the peace. Very important. I've shared many stories in the Wings program, and one of the stories that is right in line with this is the gentleman who was at the Philadelphia Industrial Correctional Center, better known as PIC, who shared with me one evening that his father had raped him when he was 11 years old. And he shared this with me during class. He asked me to come out into the hallway and that he had something very important to tell me. And he hadn't forgiven his father. And I said to him, "That's a terrible thing. I'm so sorry that this happened to you. And I really appreciate you telling me about this event that took place." I said to him, "When was the last time you saw your father?" He said, "2 years." And I said to him, "Has he ever apologized to you?" And he said, "No, we've never talked about it." I said to him, "Well, your father owes you an apology, but you need to forgive your father. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to write a letter to your father, and we're going to invite him into this facility for a visit." And this letter that we wrote was edited and perfected to deliver the love of God into the heart of his father. And we offered an invitation for his father to join him in a visit, which he did. And during the visit, this man apologized to his son. And in the letter that he had written to his father, he forgave his father for this terrible event. And the event that took place when he was 11 years old that was never talked about. But I tell you that sometimes we need to offer forgiveness to get the apology. Other times people will be big enough, men and women, to apologize without offering forgiveness first. But either way, the goal is to bring the peace. And on that day, his father came and apologized to his son, closing the gap, healing the wound from the past, which could not be overturned. Could not be undone. It had been 12 years since the rape took place when he was 11. And in those years, he had already graduated from high school and joined the Army and was now out of the Army and sitting in the Wings program in this facility. But God helped as he brought these two together, this father and son who hadn't seen each other in 2 years. It took, like St. Paul said, a lot of compassion on both parts, a lot of forgiveness. It took a lot of kindness to one another, but in the end, they had a great peace between them. And the Lord's word says in Ephesians also to be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love, as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. And I just tell you that God has made man in his image. So it should be easy to be imitators of God. We know it is not, because we are human beings and we have free choice. But God calls us to imitate him as beloved children, children who love their Father in heaven, children who live in love. Again, the second greatest commandment, to love one another. Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in the world is a lack of love. She didn't say the greatest disease in the world was AIDS or drug overdose, which is an epidemic. She said a lack of love, because very often people are stingy with their love, with their kindness, with their compassion, with their forgiveness. So they don't have the capacity to love one another. And Mother Teresa saw it best, because she did the work with the homeless, AIDS victims, people living on the streets or under bridges, and helping them to die with dignity, giving them clean sheets and a meal. But one of our great goals, identified by St. Paul in the book of Ephesians, my friends, is very clear, that we have to imitate God as beloved children. So what are the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father? Think about it objectively. What are the attributes of our Lord? Was our Lord bitter, angry, shouting? Was he stingy with his love? Did he have a lack of compassion, a lack of forgiveness? Was he unkind? No. The Lord brought all the best to his people to show them everything they needed. He's the role model when it comes to bringing a peace. He says, "Peace be with you," many times wherever he went. He says that we need to forgive others 7 times 70, an amazing amount of times that we are called to forgive other people. And he says to us that if we don't forgive others, our Father in heaven won't forgive us. This is important. But he calls us to imitate God. He calls us to do it every day. And I want you to think about that. What are the attributes of Jesus when you think about him, and being more like Jesus in different situations? What would Jesus do in this situation or that situation? And trying to figure that out. How would he handle things versus how would I handle things, and maybe make the wrong decision, the wrong move, say the wrong word, and offend someone versus bring the peace or the love through the Word of God? I want you to think about this, because it's important, my friends. And again, St. Paul says this: as beloved children, live in love, as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God. Don't forget, we must never forget, that the Lord handed himself over as a sacrificial offering. He didn't have to do it. He did it out of love for us and to please his Father, to carry out that plan for salvation, giving us opportunity to live in heaven with our Lord and our Father in heaven. It's important. It's powerful. I want to transition, my friends, to the gospel reading. And if you just joined us, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. And we're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and you're here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Our show once again today, my friends, was dedicated to all those wingmen who have put forth 100% effort to succeed in reentry after incarceration or to succeed in recovery from substance abuse or alcoholism. Okay, we're going to go to our next reading, which is from the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, verses 41 through 51. And here it is. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, my friends, the Lord says, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Continuously, he makes the case for himself as the bread that came down from heaven. He is the bread of life. And each and every time we go to church, we as Catholics believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It's very powerful. And the Lord refers to himself, "And the bread that I will give you is my flesh for the life of the world." This is the word of God from the Gospel of John. It is what it is. And we can no longer ignore the fact that the Lord tells us that his flesh is within the Holy Eucharist, the communion that we receive each and every Sunday. We cannot look at the Word of God and take only what it is that we want. We have to believe it, have trust in it, because Jesus is the Word of God. A great message from the gospel reading today in the book of John. And the Lord says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day." So for all of us who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have been moved by the Father. We have been drawn in by our Father in heaven. And the Lord gives us opportunity to develop that relationship. He sends His Blessed Mother to draw us even closer because He wants to help us to raise the relationship to a higher level, to become more intimate, more loving, more compassionate, more forgiving, to obtain and acquire the attributes of our Lord. He wants to help us to be imitators of God as beloved children. He wants us to live in love, not in anger, not in fury or bitterness or malice. He does not want that. The Lord helps us to be imitators of God. And the Father has drawn us into this relationship with our Lord because the Father cares as our Father in heaven who brought us into the world. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet." Our Father in heaven knew us before we were formed in the womb, which is powerful. And that relationship with the Lord gives us access to the Father. We know that the Lord has said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." So the Father wants us to come back to Him. And so He draws us into this relationship with Jesus, because Jesus tells us in the book of John, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So it's like a complete circle where the Father is moving us for the first time towards Jesus. And Jesus helps us to develop that relationship, and then through Him and eternal life, we have access to our Father in heaven. It's powerful. And in the Word of God, it says this, "It is written in the prophets, they shall be taught by God." What, my friends, have you learned from God? Have you learned the commandments? Have you learned the golden rule? What have you learned, and are you putting it into practice? The Lord calls us to live it out. Our Blessed Mother Mary has given many messages at apparition sites and wants us to live out the scriptures, just a couple every day. A powerful calling, an objective that we need to remember each and every day as we go forward. The Bible itself has so much to offer and so much to teach us. But if we don't open it up, my friends, what are we learning? Because it is written in the prophets that they shall be taught by God. And God has taught you and I some things about life, life's lessons. Some lessons are small ones, some are large ones. Some people have to learn the hard way because of stubbornness, obstinance. I'm going to do it my way instead of the Lord's way, and they have to pay a high price. But remember, my friends, your life is not over because of a mistake, even if the mistake costs you a year in prison, even if the mistake costs you the loss of your home. Your life is not over. You have opportunity to start new again, and with the Lord's help and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit in word and action, we have a new and blessed opportunity in front of us. That is something to remember, and that God will teach us many lessons. In the Word of God, it says a father has the right to discipline his son. So the Father will discipline us as His children. It says, "Do not reject the punishment of the Almighty, because you'll be wounded, but you'll be bound up. God will help you to start anew. It's important that we recognize this, because we will make mistakes. You and I will make mistakes, but we want to make them smaller and smaller and learn, gain wisdom, because God is teaching us all the way through, from childhood to adulthood. He is teaching us how to go the right way. He says it in the book of Deuteronomy, do not deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as the Lord your God tells you to go. And Moses tells us to be careful, because he wants us to succeed with God. He's telling us to be careful. Because we have free will, these things are sometimes hard to do, and we ignore the great teachings of our Lord. Above all, our Lord is a master teacher who requires a childlike faith to get to heaven. He doesn't want people with big egos who think they're smarter than God. He doesn't want people to keep him last on the list. He wants us to get closer to him, give him more quality time, to keep him high in the priority list. And as a teacher, God gives us everything we need and more. He reinforces it over and over and over again through the gospel readings. There's cross-pollination coming from the Old Testament, the New Testament, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, St. Paul, the prophets. Today we see the prophet Elijah prepared by God to walk 40 days and 40 nights in the desert as he prepares him for other things. And it's powerful. And I tell you that, my friends, because God is preparing you and I to do great works for him and his Father here on earth. Because our world needs the very best human beings who love God to be out there on the forefront, giving their time, their talent, and their treasure to make changes in this world, who is ignoring God, putting him aside, leaving him out, criticizing him, finding fault with him. It's up to you and I, my friends, to do our part to bring the very best that we can into this society, to show the goodness in our church, the goodness in human beings, and that we are all one people in God's eyes, and that all lives matter in the eyes of God. There are no differences. We are all made in man's image. And it's up to us, my friends, today to make a decision to give God the very best effort that you and I can bring forth. I ask this today for you and for me, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you and keep you, and may you have a great day here at Holy Spirit Radio. We'll see you next time at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Thanks again to Frank Eliason and to Dale and Jane for everything they do. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.